Well, God is awesome, isn't he? Amen. Are you excited?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, we know that God, he is able to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine, and how wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, it's so good to see you all, and it's always good when we come together as God is working to mold us and shape us into the image of Christ. And we have been talking this month about endless worship, the importance of worship in the life of the believer. And so often we participate in worship services on Sunday, but we don't always realize that the Sunday experience is a model for the rest of the week. In fact, what we do on Sunday is really to help you know how to live throughout the week. So when we come to church, we have scripture and prayer, and we have worship songs that we sing, and we fellowship together. This is all a part of the Christian life. This is representative of what it is that we see pictured in the New Testament in the life of the believers. In fact, the Word of God tells us that they fellowship daily, that every day in the evenings after their time at work, they would gather together for fellowship to share around the Word of God, and also for prayer and for giving thanks to God for another day. And that is something that we also need to apply in our lives, that every day we make sure that we spend time with God, that we spend time singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that we spend time in the Word of God, that we spend time in prayer, even giving thanks for the things that God has enabled us to accomplish throughout the day. And so often we forget that we are supposed to be in a relationship with God. And that is not something that you really want to forget. Have you ever been in a relationship before? Right? Have you ever forgotten that person for a whole day? Yeah, no, you don't, do you? No, not if the relationship stays intact, it doesn't. Because if you forget people, then guess what happens? Somebody else will remember them. And if somebody else remembers them, then they get the benefit of the relationship and the fellowship and the cultivating, and you miss out. And then when you finally put two and two together, they say, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in you anymore. And unfortunately, that's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? And so often we miss out on the blessings of God because we don't walk with God throughout the day. The Word of God says that you don't have because you don't ask. And God has called us to interact with him, to speak with him, and he will lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It says to take nothing for granted, but in all things that we should be prayerful, giving thanks, and we should acknowledge him in all of our ways, and that he will direct us as we go through life. If we don't ask and if we don't interact with the Lord, then we will go it alone. And there's nothing worse than going it alone, because it makes it that much more challenging, that much more difficult. Just having another perspective to help you navigate through life is so critically important, because so often we go according to what we think. And the Word of God says there's a way that seems right, but it's the end is the way of destruction. And there's nothing worse than thinking you're right, only to find out when it's too late that you made a wrong choice or a wrong decision, or you got into something and now you can't get out, or now it's a problem. Whereas if you had a right relationship in your life with God and with the people of God, you could have avoided trouble, challenges, difficulties, hardships, and problems that you found yourself in. And this is why it's so important to be in a relationship with God, to be able to commune with him. And that's why your worship has to be endless. It cannot just be on Sundays. It cannot just be at a certain time, but it ought to be the way you live your life, a way of life for you. You walk through your day worshiping and praising God, just acknowledging him, saying, Lord, guide me. Lord, give me wisdom. When you have meetings on your job or you interact with people, you say, Lord, give me the ability to represent you, God. Anoint my hands, anoint my words and the thoughts of my mind. Help me, Lord, to be your representative, your ambassador. And so we are able to navigate the realm. And that is our theme for the summer, navigating the realm. And we need to understand how to navigate the realm. And it begins with your worship of God, with your acknowledging of him and abiding in him. And so we must understand how important that is, because God has called us to be a people who are called by his name. We represent the kingdom of God and of heaven. And so our lead verse for today is Revelation 14:3. And it says, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. And so as we continue our study in Revelation here today, we see how important it is to have a relationship with God, as these 144,000 represent those who had been purchased from the earth. And I pray that you have been purchased of God today. I pray that you are the part of those who are purchased of the earth. And so I would like to use as a theme today, sing a new song. Sing a new song. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to even gather together. And we ask, oh God, that you would just continue to mold us and shape us. Help us, Lord, to operate in a spirit of worship under the anointing of God, under the flow of your spirit, that we would create and establish an atmosphere that is conducive to the manifestations of God, where the Lord himself, you, oh God, may take up residence in our midst. That you may guide us and lead us, that you may guard us and protect us, that you would make a way so that we would be able to navigate the realm that we are in effectively as your ambassadors. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, oh God. Amen and amen. Well, I hope that you are singing a new song. And if you're not, it's time to learn one. Hallelujah. And how exciting it is to be able to sing a new song, a song that is birthed from the Spirit of God out of your experiences in life. And that is what God is doing. He's constantly doing things in our lives that would lead to a new song. Hallelujah. Today we can sing, I overcame the coronavirus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever hear that song before? Huh? No, because it's new. It's a new song. I just made that up just now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you can make up your own coronavirus. Hallelujah song. Hey, but that's a song you can sing because God brought you through something. And every time God does something, you can sing a song about it. Hallelujah. Isn't that what people do? People are making millions of dollars because they're making up songs over something that happened to them. And then they're not even giving God the glory for it. But how much more if we give God the glory? We will be like the heavenly hosts, those who God has with him in heaven. Because when God does something, he wants the glory. He wants the honor and the praise. God, he thrives off of the worship of his people, off of the acknowledging of the things that he has done. And the more he does for us, the more we ought to be grateful. The more we ought to give thanks. The more we ought to celebrate it. We ought to have a life of endless worship. But it's hard to have a life of endless worship if you don't recognize what God is doing. And so it's important to have a relationship with God so that he can reveal to you what he's doing in your own life. Amen? Hallelujah. And so how awesome it is when you can sing a song about what God is doing for you. And so here in Revelation 14, it kind of gives us an understanding of this very concept. And it says in verses 1 to 3, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And now, this is an interesting verse because, number one, it's talking about the 144,000. And those of you who are familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses, you know that they talk a lot about this. Well, they kind of stopped now talking about it so much because their numbers exceeded 144,000. So once they got more than 144,000 people following them, they shifted and they stopped talking about it. But they used to talk about it all the time. That used to be their thing. And so now their theology is messed up, so they had to change what they believe, and they shifted everything. So now it's a little different. But the whole concept of this 144,000 is established in the Word of God. And whenever you need to understand something, you always go to the Scripture so that the Word of God can explain itself. Because we can't explain what God means when he says it because he's God. But God knows what he means. And this is symbolic and it's representative of the redeemed of the Lord. And we're going to take a look at that in just a minute. And it says that they have his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And when you see this term or this phrase of having the name written on the forehead or on the right hand, it signifies who you are, your identity. It's that your identity is that which is of the Father. In other words, they are the redeemed of God. That means their mark or the name on them is the mark of the Holy Spirit of God. And so you get a new name when you're born of God. Did you know that? You get a new name written in glory. And name, throughout Scripture, names always signify identity. And so when you see these marks or markings or identifying factors or traits, it signifies who you identify with or under whose authority you are actually functioning and living. And that's important to understand because many people who say that they are people of God are not necessarily living under God's authority. They're living according to their own minds, the vanities of their own minds. And that is not to be critical or negative, but I'm simply saying that it means that they are operating the way they think, it ought to be. And so it's important for us as the people of God to understand that we are to be led of God. Isn't that what the Scripture says? And so Paul says, be led by the Spirit of God. But it's hard to be led if you're not filled. Because when you're filled, then you live out of the overflow. And I would submit that whatever you're full of, that's what's governing your life. That's what you are. When you're doing what you do in autopilot without thinking, you're operating according to whatever you're full of. Whatever it is that you've invested your time in and your energy, your focus, and you have identified yourself with this relational thing. And it is what you are doing, what you are communing with. That is the very thing that will operate you when you're in autopilot. That's the overflow from which you will operate. And that's why it's so important to meditate on the Word of God, to spend time in prayer, to spend time with the fundamentals of Christian living, the principles of God and His Word. And when we do, we will have the identifying factors of Christ. We will begin to relate as Christians because we will actually be living out what the Scripture actually says. And it'll be something that will be natural to you, like second nature. And so this name that is written on their heads represents and connotates identity. Verse 2 says, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of a loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And so in the midst of thundering sounds and the sounds of many waters, as it says, it represents the authority of God, yet his voice sounded like music. And I can just imagine this sounding with the thunder and all of the rushing water sounds. It's almost like a symphony of God's voice as he's speaking. And so it's authoritative, yet it is melodious. It has the ability to minister to you at the same time. And this is the voice that's speaking to John as he is having this experience. And so it says, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Ooh, you see that? So now we know that the 144,000 represent those who were purchased of the earth. And so what scholars actually believe is that this 144,000 represents the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples, or the work established by the 12 disciples, those who are of the kingdom of God. And it represents the redeemed of the Lord, as the scripture says. And so those who are the redeemed of God, God has identified himself with a mark on your forehead. And this is what is known as a seal. And the seals that are in scripture, and there are several different ones. We're all familiar with the seal that was on the tomb of Jesus, right? When they put him in the tomb, they put the seal on it. It was a Pilate seal, right? And so it signified the government seal. And that if anyone broke it, they would suffer under the penalties of the authority of the government. But then later on, outside the Gospels, we see in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament writings of Paul, the seal of the Holy Spirit. And in the upper room, the seal of the Holy Spirit was the identifying factor that God had changed someone's life, that something was imparted to them and they were spirit-filled, overflowing in God. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and they are born of the Spirit. And that is the representation of the Holy Spirit, who is the seal of God during the church age or church period or the time that we are currently in. It is the Holy Spirit that identifies the people of God. You see, anybody can say they're a Christian, but it's unless you are operating under the authority and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you can't prove it. And how that plays out is when times get rough, when things are challenging and difficult, when the deceiver comes, do you get sucked into it, or does the Holy Spirit say, don't buy into that. Don't go for that, because there's something that's not right. Pull back. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will keep you. And when everyone else is in panic and fear, oh Lord, oh God, oh Lord, you have the peace that surpasses all understanding, because the Holy Spirit says, don't worry about what you see. Then the Lord will say, you pull back and you enter in to the secret place of the Almighty and allow my shadow to cover you. And God guards you and he guides you and he protects his own. And so we pray without ceasing. We commune with God as we go through our day. And as we stir up the Spirit of God, how many of you have felt the anointing? Hallelujah, right? Well, that sense, that presence, that anointing that you feel, that is a frequency of God. You know that God has his own frequency. God has a frequency that God actually communicates on to his people. And it doesn't matter where you go around the world, that anointing, that presence is always there when the power and the presence of God shows up. It doesn't matter where you go. When you show up in a place where the Spirit of God is being cultivated, where genuine believers who have a relationship with God gather together, two or three in his name, the Word of God says, there he is in the midst, and you know by his presence. There is an atmospheric presence that exists in the places where the Holy Spirit of God is, and we have the ability to cultivate that. We can make that happen as we commune with God. And this is a very powerful tool, and it's very important. And you know, it's always concerning when people are not capable of creating the right atmosphere for themselves, and where they get sucked into an idea or a belief that actually brings you down instead of building you up. And we know that God is trying to establish this principle in our lives. And that's why these 144,000 were able to learn the new song, because God had brought them through something. And when God brings you through something and makes you victorious, He gives you a new song. Whenever God brings victory into your life over challenges and difficulties, He gives you a new song. And this is what God does. We ought to have so many songs in our repertoire of songs, of all the things that God has delivered you from. The Lord has delivered you from unemployment, right? Hallelujah. Some of you were blessed with an extra $600. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's overcoming unemployment. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just when you thought you had nothing, hallelujah, you got more than what you need. Glory to God. And so many ways we have experiences in God. And I know we look at it and say, well, you know, the world, that's everybody got that. Yeah, but you know what? It didn't have to happen. But God made it happen. Maybe it happened just because of you. Hallelujah. And so often we think that things are just common and ordinary, but really it's because of you. And I remember when I worked in the city, I used to pray that God would bring an increase to the company that I worked for, because they were always saying that they would may have to have layoffs when things got slow. So I would pray against it. I would pray against them layoffs. I say, devil, you're a liar. I said, you won't be having any layoffs that affect me. No, I'm not even hearing that. And I would pray all the time. Every day I come to work, I would say, hallelujah, Lord, I thank you for this job. I thank you for this work. I thank you that there will be provision for me. I thank you that I don't care what happens to anybody else, but God, you're going to make sure there's meat in my house. Hallelujah. Lord, you're going to make a way. Even when it seems impossible, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. I don't know what these heathens are doing, but I know that my faith is in God. So Lord, bless us all if you have to. Hallelujah. And we prayed, and I prayed, and guess what? Business went up, and they didn't lay anybody off. And it was that way as long as I stayed in that division. And when I transferred to another division. And a year later, things went down. And all of a sudden, they started having layoffs when things got slow. It went back to the way it was before I left. Now, when I was there, I wasn't thinking too much of it. I was just thinking, this is what Christians do. We pray about our situations. We pray for our jobs. We pray for our conditions. And so I was just praying my way through everything and sharing Christ and doing all the things that I knew I was supposed to do. And I wasn't thinking about it. But then when I heard about the layoffs, I was reminded, the Holy Spirit said, see, I answered your prayer. The Lord revealed to me that He answered my prayer. And we have the ability to overcome if we just cultivate a relationship with God. If we just yield to Him and speak to Him and enable Him, God will make provision for you. And the Bible says, whatever you do will prosper. Psalm 1, if you are faithful to God. And so these sang a new song. And they sang a new song because God was their deliverer. God had purchased them. And when you've been purchased by God and you're standing before the throne of God, man, you'll sing a whole new song. You will sing a new song. Hallelujah. And God will cause you to rejoice. It says, and I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea. And so this angel is coming out essentially out of the east from where the sun rises. And he's coming out of this area and this region, and he's crying out with a loud voice. Notice he's crying out with a loud voice. Notice he's not mumbling. He's not whispering. He's not thinking it in his head. But he's crying out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. And he says, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I pray that you have been sealed by God. I pray that you have been sealed as a bondservant of the Lord. A bondservant of the Lord is a slave that was set free. And then said, wait a minute, I'm going to go back. Master, can I stay? I want to stay and serve you. And he has a change of mind. When he's freed, he chooses to turn and stay with the master. Why? Because the master was good to him. The master treated him well and took care of him. And there was a good relationship with the master. And because of that good relationship, the slave would have the option to stay. And the master says, absolutely, you can stay. And now you have a good relationship. And this is what God does in his life, in our lives. He sets us free from our bondage and our sin. And we're in a place of darkness, and we are have a mindset that is carnal, and that is reflective of the world and fallen man. But then God redeems us. He cleans us up. He sets us free. And he says, you are now free. And we say, Lord, I am so grateful that you have freed me, that I will serve you. And he gives his life to his master. That's what a bondservant is. A bondservant is someone who is really a free person, but they choose to stay and serve. And I don't know about you, but I've chosen to stay and serve the Lord. I have chosen and stayed and honored the word of God. Oh, the word of God says that in the last days that many will fall away from the faith, that many will turn their backs on God. They won't see going to church as something that is critical and valuable in their daily life, and they will set it aside to do other things, to go other places. They have other priorities aside from the house of God. But then the Holy Spirit quickens us, and he renews us, and he revives us, and we're able to overcome. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're able to put God first in our lives. And we're able to see and know and experience the power of God. And we cultivate this relationship that has the ability to prepare us for things to come. God is in the preparing business. It says in verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And so we see that this represents those who are who represent the 12 tribes of Israel, those who are the sons of Israel. And the redeemed, the terminology for the redeemed, represent those who are born of God, those who are born as of the work of Christ, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 4 of Revelation 14, it says, these are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And this represents, is really a picture of the life of a disciple, of the 12 disciples in particular, who actually yielded themselves and followed Christ and gave up family and all the things that they had in this world in order to follow Christ and to pursue the mission of the gospel. They were chaste, they were pure, they were holy as they followed Christ and served the Lord. And it says that these are the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he goes. And saints of God, you must be faithful to God till the end. You must follow the Lord wherever he goes. We are to be led by the Spirit of God, not by the needs or the wants of our families or whatever our job is dictating to us. We are not led by those things. We are led by the Spirit of God. And unless you have a relationship with God where you're cultivating the Spirit of the Lord so you're able to hear the voice of God and you are able to recognize him and know him, it causes you to come into communion with God so that you can be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills you and enables you to overcome. It says, those who have been purchased from God as a first fruit, first fruit. Those who represent the first fruit are the 12 disciples, are those whom Jesus chose. They were the first ones to partake and reap the benefit of Christ's resurrection and his life. They represent the first fruits, the 12 disciples, and those who followed. And so you and I are the fruit of these 12, what we call disciples, those who were with Jesus. And verse 5 says, and no lie was found in their mouth. They were blameless. And so we know that the disciples were blameless. They did not lie, but they spoke the truth, and the truth represents Christ. Christ is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so our life and our lives together ought to be about promoting and furthering the truth of God. We live the truth. We testify of the truth. We operate in truth. And the truth of God is what enables us to endure. And so in Isaiah 51:11, it says, so the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. And everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is what happens when you're in a relationship with God, when you're cultivating your walk with God. It is a picture of what will happen when Christ returns and redeems his people out of the earth. God is going to wipe the tears from our eyes, the Word of God says. And there'll be no more sorrow. And God will constantly establish an atmosphere of his presence that is conducive to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all those things that we ought to be as Christians, even as God and Christ are. And so God says he's ransomed us so that we can come with joyful shouting. Do you have joyful shouting? Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have the joy of the Lord stirring in your heart? Do you see when God does things in the midst of your day, how God provides for you? Do you know that the fact that you got here safely is because God was with you as you traveled? It is God who sustains us. It is God who provides for us. He makes us to be in a position where we can have not only enough for ourselves, but enough to help others. You see, it is the generous that God continues to bless. This is why those that have continue to have, and those who struggle continue to struggle. Because those who struggle have a tendency of putting a focus on what they don't have. And because they put an emphasis on what they don't have, they don't help anybody else. They don't do what they're supposed to do with what they have because they're hoarding what they have. And as a result, God says, I cannot pour in because you built a dam to hold it up. And if you hold it in, then God cannot pour in. Because the reason God blesses people is so that we can bless other people. And so the blessing comes upon us as we bless. And the Spirit of the Lord moves. And God enables us to have joyful shouting. Every time somebody does something for me that is a blessing, I have joyful shouting. Hallelujah. Praise God. When somebody does something for you, especially if you can't do it yourself, doesn't that bring joy into your life? Oh, I pray that you glorify God. And you know what I pray? I pray, God, pour out your blessing upon that person. Lord, you bless them. God, you cover them. You make them that they would never lack. And that is what the Word of God says. It says, if you are a blessing and you help others, that you will never lack, because pressed down, shaken together, God will cause men to pour into your bosom. God will enable you to reap what you sow. And so when you reap the goodness of the Lord, you are probably reaping that because God is giving you opportunity so that you can have a shout of joy, so that you can be a blessing to someone else. And so it says they will obtain gladness and joy. Notice it says they will obtain it. It means that they didn't have it before, but they got it now. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. And whenever gladness and joy comes in, it drives out sorrow. It drives out the weightiness of sighing, that heavy-heartedness. And so God is doing this new work in our life, even as he says here in verse 12, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, and of the Son of Man who is made like grass? In other words, God says, don't worry about what's going on in the world. Don't worry about what's happening all around you. You ought to have confidence in God. You ought to know that God is your comforter. He comforts us. And when you enter into the presence of God, when you're singing your new song, when you're recognizing what God is doing, oh, it changes everything about your life. Oh, saints of God, don't focus on the things that are going wrong. Don't focus on the problems, but focus on the Lord, who is able to establish his presence among you so that you will be able to drive out a spirit of fear and operate in the presence and the authority of God. This is what God is looking to do in our lives. Verse 13 says that you have forgotten the Lord, your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor. And as he makes ready to destroy, but where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is the fury of the oppressor? Oh, saints of God, I pray that you haven't forgotten the Lord your maker. I pray that you understand that he made the foundations of the heavens and the earth, and he established all these things that we would be able to have our faith and trust placed in him. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you understand that it is the oppressor who is driving fear in the hearts of people. And I pray that you have overcome the spirit of fear, and that you are able to operate in the power and the authority of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, and that you are able to draw strength from God himself because of your relationship with him. And so God wants to give you a new song to sing. He wants you to understand that you have already overcome because Christ has overcome the oppressor. Satan is the oppressor. Satan is the one who comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And it is the Lord, it is the hand of God that is at work in your life. It is the Spirit of God that is being breathed upon you as you commune with him, as you go through life, as you walk with him, as you talk with him. He reveals things to you. He helps you see that you are not alone, that he is with you. He is covering you and sustaining you. And as your faith in God begins to grow and increase, you are able to drive out the spirit of the oppressor, the spirit of bondage and fear, and the glory of God is able to prevail in the midst of your life. It says the exile will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. God will be your source of provision. God will be the one who enables you to be free. Oh, I know so many people want to be free of coronavirus. They want to be free of all the challenges that life has brought into our lives. But I can assure you that this is only temporary. You see, God has come to set the captives free. He has come to liberate his people. He says, you may suffer, you may even have to go in the dungeon, but you won't die in the dungeon. You won't die. We all have to go through hardships and challenges and difficulties in life. And that is what God tends to do. God always delivers his people. He brings us through the hardships and the challenges of life. And so often, you know, people are trying to get out of problems. A lot of people, they want to be raptured because they're afraid of going through the tribulation. They're afraid of the tribulation. I'm not afraid of the tribulation. You know why? Because I know the Bible. Hallelujah. I know what the Word of God says. I know that when the flood hit the earth, that Noah was told by God to build the ark, wasn't he? Right? And he spent how long? 120 years building an ark in a land or in a place where it had never rained before. It was a desert region, and nobody knew what a boat really was. And so here he is building a ship big enough to hold all these creatures that God was bringing to him. And all the people are saying, this guy is mad. He's out of his mind. He's insane. And he's doing all this stuff. But then when it started raining, people started to look up. Isn't that right? All of a sudden they said, what is this? Because they had never seen rain before. Rain didn't come from the sky. Water came up from the dew of the ground and watered the earth. But now it's falling from the sky. What is this? Something new. And then it kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And all of a sudden, the earth starts to fill up with water. I tell you what, you're looking for Noah now, aren't you? You're looking for Noah, but where's Noah? Noah's in the ark. He's in the ark, and they're out there going, let us in, because the water's up here now. And all the stuff that they thought was ridiculous and foolishness now becomes important. And this is how the world is going to see the church and the people of God. And this is what is taking place in our society even today. And that is why we must understand that even though we may have to go through some hardships, some difficulties, some challenges, we'll be riding in the ark. Hey! Hey! I would throw you a life preserver, but they haven't been invented yet. Hey, Ham, could you make note of that? We should come up with life preservers, something to throw out to people drowning. Oh, I'm so sorry. Watch out, there's a shark coming. Never seen sharks over here before. And so now they're dealing with all kinds of stuff, but God preserves his people. He keeps his people. When they went through the wilderness, they had this Egyptian mindset. God said, that's not going to fly where you're going. Where you're going, you can't have that mindset. You've got to change that mindset. And if you don't, you can't make it. You're not going to go. And so the people left Egypt with an Egyptian mindset, and they thought like everything they'd experienced in Egypt. And that was the way they were trained. That was the way they thought. That was the way they operated. They didn't think there was anything wrong with that. It was modern day thinking. And so God says, that's not my thinking. And no matter how modern your thinking may be, it's not God's thinking. And we have to learn how to apply biblical mentality to our lives. And those people went through the wilderness. Even Moses didn't make it to the promised land. Even Moses became like the people. He had so much carnality going on around him that the people caused him to respond in the flesh. And God said, you misrepresented me, so now you can't go. And so they were held back. And who went into the promised land? Only two people that left Egypt, Joshua and Caleb. And it was because they were pure and chaste. They followed the Lord wherever he went. They obeyed the word of God. They were faithful even to the end. They are a reflection or a picture of the same attributes that are represented of the 144,000. And if you examine it carefully, you see that this principle is a principle that goes from Genesis to Revelation. God saves his people. He covers those who are faithful. Those who endure to the end shall be saved, the word of God says. And so our responsibility is to be faithful to the end, to adhere to the word of God, to not allow the thinking of the world to impact us, but to stay true to the word of God. And so ultimately, we will be set free. We will be set free. God will make a way for us. He will overcome us. And even Christ conquered death. And he said, even in death, you will have life. Hallelujah. He said, even if you die, you'll still live. Why? Because God will snatch your soul out of your body before your body stops working. Hallelujah. So you won't need that body anymore because God will give you a whole nother existence. And so you don't have to fear death anyway, because there is life in death for the believer. And that is why you must be born again. You must be born of God, because that is the evidence that new life has been given to you, has been imparted to you. And once you have the seal of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the anointing of God stirring you and cultivating in your life, you will overcome. We see it in this example in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out to Aram. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. And so here they are, they're located in this space, and what's happening is this army is rising up, and these are the sons of Lot. You remember Lot, right, who came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God delivered Lot, and as they were leaving, they were growing, his two daughters said, oh my goodness, we're getting old, and we're leaving childbearing age. We need to have sons so that we can keep our lineage going. And so they got their father drunk and went in and they slept with him. And they had children. And those children are now these people that are reaping havoc on Jehoshaphat. And whenever sin comes into any situation, it is always going to be problematic, troublesome, and hard to deal with. And so here's Jehoshaphat trying to deal with this army of Lot's relatives that are coming after him. And so he decides that he is going to seek the Lord. Notice that he seeks the Lord. I guess I should bring that back. Notice he turns his attention and he seeks the Lord. Why? Because he was afraid. And that would tell us whenever you're afraid, you turn your attention to seeking God. In other words, he made it a priority. He made seeking God a priority. Seeking God needs to be a priority in our life. Seeking God needs to have a first place and not a second afterthought. And it says he proclaimed a fast. He said, not only am I going to seek God, but we're all seeking God. He said, they're not just coming for me as the king. They're coming for our whole nation. And I would submit to you, when the devil comes in, he comes in like a flood. And he doesn't just come for you. He wants your children and your children's children. He wants everything you have, all your resources. He wants everything that you have that is of benefit to the kingdom of God and to the things of God. And his desire is to drive you into the ground and make you worthless and ineffective for the sake of the kingdom of God. That is what Satan's job is. You see, he doesn't have to come after the unbeliever. He doesn't have to come after those who do not have a relationship with God, because they are already useless for the sake of the kingdom of God. They're not bringing in the redemptive work of Christ. They're not enabling souls to be impacted, to be saved. But he's after the people who are going to do harm to his kingdom, have come to redeem those out of darkness into his light. We are the people of God, and that is what we do. And by sheer nature of who we are and what we do, he knows who you are because there's a mark on your forehead. There's an identifying factor. There's a seal of God in your life, the Holy Spirit of God, and it is evidence that you belong to him. And so Satan says, I'm going to put your light out. Are you familiar with the scripture? It says, let your light so shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. It says, let it out, right? You know that song from school, from Sunday school? And the whole idea is that we are the light on the hill. And as we shine, we are a beacon. We are like a lighthouse that says to people, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We represent safety in Christ. And that is who we are. And Satan says, I want to put your light out. And so Jehoshaphat decides he is going to seek God because he knew that God was his refuge and his strength. And when you realize that God is your refuge and your strength, no matter what happens to you, and when the enemy rises up, you will be forced to drive your attention to seek the Lord. That is what the people of God do. And so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And so what does that tell you? That tells you that they didn't all just go home and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying. No, they came to Jerusalem. They came to the center where the Spirit of God met, to the house of God. They came to the tabernacle. They came to the city of God. In other words, they came to where God is. And that is why coming to church is so important. That's why being a part of the church is so important. That is why we gather together. The Bible says in the last days, many will forsake gathering together. Isn't it interesting that coronavirus stopped people from gathering together? So much so that even when it's now possible to gather together, some people are still afraid to gather together. Yeah, you think about that. Let's think about that. Because it is a sign of the times. And what's happening to Christian people is exactly what the Word of God says will happen. Because all these things that the Bible describes, they are written to the people of God. And it is the people of God who will be turning their backs. It is the people of God who will be forsaking. It is the people of God who will be operating in fear. Oh, the world is already in fear. We expect the world to operate a certain way, but it's unique and significant when the people of God begin to operate not as the people of God, but as people of the world. And when you see that, it is a sign of the times. And so in verse 24 of chapter 20 in 2 Chronicles, we jump ahead in the story to when Judah came back. They were there on the lookout of the wilderness. They looked towards the multitude, and behold, they were all corpses. They were all dead laying on the ground. And that's because God had came in and confused them. You see, when they came back from their fasting and their praying, God told them to rise up and go down as the armies of the Lord. And as they went down in battle array against them, all of a sudden, the armies of their enemies began to hear and recognize something was happening, and they panicked, and they all started going crazy, and they just started killing each other. They wiped themselves out. It says God caused confusion to come into the camp, and God caused them all to perish, and not one man escaped. Not one man escaped. That means somebody who was already dying got the last man who thought he was making it. Goodness. Hallelujah. That's what God will do for you. God will shut down your enemies. He will keep the work of the enemy from overwhelming you and overtaking you. And sometimes the very things that we think are a problem or a hindrance in our life turn out to be the biggest blessing, turn out to be the very thing that we needed. So often we think that the devil is doing something, and then we realize, wait a minute, this is God. God just delivered me from evil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's exactly what happened here. And it says, every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Saints of God, every day you come home, God enables you to rejoice. He's the reason you make it home. That alone is a reason to rejoice. We ought to give thanks to God that we made it home. Not only did you make it home safely, but you made it home virus-free. Hallelujah. You made it home without having any other oppression, any other bondages coming into your life. God redeemed you. And we ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful. And we know that God is able to make provision and make a way for us. And so, finally, it tells us that even as they came home rejoicing, that they came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. Saints of God, I pray that you come to the house of the Lord with instruments of worship, that you are ready to worship and acknowledge God, that you are ready to glorify his name, to magnify him in every aspect of your life. In Psalm 40, verse 3, the Bible tells us that God will put a new song in your mouth. Hallelujah. It says, a song of praise to God, to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Oh, saints of God, when you come to work rejoicing, or when you go to ShopRite rejoicing, or Walmart, or wherever it is you go, or when you go out to and fro, and you have the joy of the Lord, and you are singing a song of the Lord because you are honoring God and recognizing what he's done in your life, oh, you will impact people, and people will see, and they too will have a fear of the Lord. The word there for fear means they will have a reverence for God. They will be reverent in their recognition that God is still doing something in people's lives. Oh, it brings joy to people's hearts. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 42:10, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end to the earth of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them. So maybe you're from Puerto Rico or Trinidad, or maybe you're from Jamaica or the Bahamas or Cuba or somewhere. You know, maybe you're out there from one of the Virgin Islands. And God says, when you're out there, he says, you praise God out there. Well, if you're out there, you got good reason to praise God out there, I guess. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. When you get out there, you step out on the island, whoo, you're like, hallelujah. Glory to God. God says you ought to praise God even on the islands, wherever you are, even in remote places, you praise God. You establish an atmosphere and a presence where God can work. You see, the 144,000 were in the presence of God. And I don't find it unique that they were praising and worshiping God, because that is the atmosphere that already exists, as we've already talked about. That they stepped in to the presence of God, where the creatures were already praising God, where the 24 elders were already praising God. And so now there's the 144,000 that come up, and now they are experiencing it. And I would submit, whenever you enter into the presence of God, you will burst out into spontaneous praise and worship. You will glorify God. You will magnify Him. You will exalt Him. Oh, that is why the presence of God is so important to establish in your life. God wants you to sing a new song. He's doing things in your life so you can have a new song to sing. In Revelation 14:3, it says they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Oh, saints of God, God has given you a new song. You see, angels can't sing your song. Cherubim and cherubim, they can't sing your song because they have not overcome in the manner that you have. You see, they were created to worship God, but you were created with a free will. You were created with a mind that is able and capable of making a decision to serve the Lord or to follow God or not. And you have chosen to seek the Lord. You have chosen to follow God. And because of that, you have to endure hardships and difficulties through life. You will go through all of the things that are required of mankind to overcome the power of Satan and darkness and all of the strategies and the trickery that he brings forth. And it is through the navigating power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit that we are able to overcome. And together, we are being molded and shaped into the image of Christ. And one day at a time, one situation and circumstance at a time, one decision and experience at a time, God is molding us. He is making a way for us. He's opening doors for us. And God is enabling us to be conquerors. And He redeems us through all of this. And then He gives us a new song to sing. Saints of God, you ought to have a new song. I pray that you will sing a new song today. I pray that you would glorify God today, that you would magnify His name, lift Him up and exalt Him, and that His glory would be in your heart and in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
This is amazing.
This realm with success, you must learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And in order to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, you must abide in the presence of God. You must sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. surround yourself with an atmosphere of praise and worship so that you can maintain your focus, so that you don't get distracted by the things that are clearly an issue that are coming against you. You see, you may have problems, but you don't have to worry, because God will see you through it. God will bring you through. That is what He does. It doesn't matter if you're Jonah in the belly of the fish. He was in the realm of the sea, and it was turbulent, and it represents the state of rebellion and sinfulness. But even through that, God preserved him. And when he was thrown over into the sea, he was swallowed up in the fish. Oh, it was a nasty place. It was a smelly, stinky place. It was a painful place to be. But nevertheless, God saved him. He brought him through. And saints of God, no matter what you go through in your life, God will always be with you when your faith and your trust is in Him. Hold on and trust in God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Hear His voice and follow Him. Allow the anointing of God to be your source of direction as you navigate this realm in a constant, never-ending state of worship. You're always bringing glory and honor to God, abiding in His Word, and allowing the atmosphere of praise to consume the environment wherever you go, so that God would be lifted up and exalted. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word today. And even as we go, we ask, oh Lord, that you would make a way when it seems to be no way, that you would continue to make provision for your people, that we would be able to hold one another up, to encourage one another, to build each other up, to enable each other to overcome the strategies of the enemy. And even in our weaknesses, oh God, be our strength. Help us, oh Lord, to be forgivers of one another. Help us, oh Lord, to be those who help each other to draw closer to you by molding and shaping us into the image of Christ. Lord, we thank you for all these things, that we may have a new song to sing. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you all, and I pray the Spirit of the Lord will be with you as you navigate the realm. Amen, amen, hallelujah.